Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I'm looking out for love, and I so still.
That's one man, one guitar. Lizzie Buckingham, the song's Big Love. If you ever get a chance to watch him play the guitar while he sings it, that's an amazing guitar production there, performance there. He's one of the best in the world, Lindsay. He's the guitar player, lead player for Fleetwood Mac, if you didn't know that already. 17-Tail, we're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. John Dini's our guest, the author of the award-winning book, Hunting in a Farmer's World. I'm still angry that I didn't write that book, but he did it better than I ever could have. He's our good friend, 16 years as a member of our Brain Trust. John, thanks again for being here. His blog, folks, you got to subscribe to this. You got to check it out because you'll thank me later. awakeat2oclock.com. That's the address for the blog, and you'll find all the other stuff there, too. Hey, John, thanks for being here. We're talking about selling your business. Boomers trying to sell their businesses. We're going to be selling them not only to a smaller number of people, but they don't have the money.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that sounds like we're double crossed.
Yeah. When we talk about not being able to start up today, one of the things that one of the factors besides the regulation and all the HR stuff you have to do is. So many of us bootstrapped. We started as a solo technician and eventually hired a guy and then another guy. And now 30 years later, we have businesses worth $1 million, $3 million, $5 million. And we're looking at a generation that, remember back in the 1980s, the credit card folks, the banks and lending institutions, got real big on pushing credit cards into college-age people. And these people have had debt balances since they started out. They've been raised to think of a paycheck as something that covers payments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you buy now, the whole pitch.
And they don't always think of acquiring stuff the way our generation did.
No, and it's instant. The whole pitch of Visa and MasterCard for all those years was, don't save up to buy something. That's stupid because you don't get to enjoy it all the time you're saving. Buy it now and then pay for it later. And they've lived their entire lives by looking at something they desire and saying, does my paycheck cover the payments?
Mm-hmm.
And they have little or no equity built up, and you've got a company that's worth, let's say $3 million. I mean, if they want to finance it, they have to come up with $600,000, $700,000.
Of their own money.
Of their own.
Try to get the bank to take some, get you to take some.
Right. And they have nothing close to that.
Is this over? I mean, what do you think? Is there some solution? Is there some alternative?
Well, one of the things I do in exit planning, and it's about three quarters of the companies I work with, is figuring out how to sell it to employees.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily mean ESOP for the
right. Although that's a good way to do it, and we've talked about that on the show before.
Sure. ESOPs are great.
But you got to have a certain critical mass to do ESOP.
Yeah.
You can't have 6 or 7 employees.
Yeah. It's going to cost you $50,000 to $100,000 a year to maintain an ESOP, again, with the regulations that surround it. Although the tax advantages for everybody are tremendous, the government would really like employees to own more businesses.
Right.
But non-ESOP approaches, we show them. The first comment I get from every business owner, I say, well, do you have employees that are capable of running this business? Oh, yeah, I've got a great GM. My sales manager is terrific. My controller is really sharp. I say, well, why don't you sell to them? What's the answer? You know what the answer is.
They don't have the money.
They don't have any money.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can take care of that. What we do is we structure incentives so if they grow the company, they get the opportunity to buy stock from you for notes.
Mm-hmm.
And after they build up sufficient equity, you know, the SBA and other lenders will consider equity ownership as a down payment. If you have 30% equity, it's the same thing as having 30% in cash.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it usually takes 5 to 8 years. 10 is a wonderful window, but they build up their ownership share, and then they can take you out. And the big deal for entrepreneurs is control. Control is so important to us.
Right.
And this way, they decide the price, because it's not negotiated with a third party that's trying to lowball you as much as possible.
Right.
They decide their timing. They can pick their date well in advance. And they can maintain control of the company and make all the decisions till the day they walk away with the money in their pocket.
Well, and there's another thing that I have a major soapbox about, and that is I try to get every small business owner to, if it's at all possible, own your real estate where your business is. So many founders have worn their business out so that the day they retired, the business wasn't worth anything, but the property that they were operating mm-hmm. in was worth millions.
Sure.
But what I was going to say is, in addition to the payout of the business, if the company's already paying you rent, then let the company pay you rent from their operation. And if they'll sign a long-term lease, that's probably a better deal than you're going to get in the marketplace.
Right.
You don't have to sell it to get your money.
Well, they'll probably have to sign a long-term lease with you to get SBA financing.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying it could be $3,000-$5,000 a month just in rent, and you still own the property.
Sure. Well, what we tell owners is to be flexible about that.
Yeah.
In an internal sale, employees can seldom afford to buy the building at the same time. You know, you give them a lease with a purchase option down the road or something. But in some cases, especially if you're going to sell to a third party, rolling that property in gives them enough collateral to buy
it. You can do that. But then you got capital gains. You got to deal with that. Hold on that thought. Right back with John Deeney. We got some other stuff to talk about. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.